the genius behind the massive Instagram account, Disappointing Affirmations, 2.7 million followers strong. David Tarnowski opens up about his own mental health journey today on Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenbaum, along with the co-founder of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Isaac Shapiro. Isaac, what's going on, my friend?
What's up, Evan? Excited for another great guest today.
I am not just a great guest, man, a guy who has 2.7 million followers on Instagram. He is an accomplished author, a businessman, and he even has a calendar. And I guarantee you, you've seen his stuff. I promise you. His name is David Tarnowski. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, David.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for such a wonderful intro.
Yes, sir.
Humble beyond belief.
Before we even get started here, it's like, I was talking to Isaac before the show even started, and I apologize. I'm sure people have said this to you before, but your Instagram page it's amazing. It is full of we should say what it is, Disappointing Affirmations. And it is got all these amazing memes on it, and they're funny and they're thoughtful and they make you feel good and all that stuff. And I was like, you're kind of like the modern day, and I'm sure people have said this, so I know I'm not original for saying this, but like you're the modern day, like Jack Handy from SNL almost, right?
I'm honored to even be considered in that, because I mean, growing up, I love that stuff. And I'm sure it seeps into everything I do, whether I realize it or not. But there's so many different influences and I've heard so many different things, but that one comes up all the time.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, it's one thing that stuck with me. I'm 44 years old and like all those things, like they stick with me and they make me smile and they make me laugh and they make me feel good, just like your page does. And thank
glad
you for
to
that.
Hear
I think
that.
That's why one of the many reasons it's so successful. One of the stories that I'd love for you guys to tell, and we were talking about this before we started recording, is how you and Isaac actually connected. If you guys want to go ahead and tell that story real quick.
Yeah, no, I think, Dave's brother Joe is at ECRM and one of the great trade shows that we attend, and Joe did a podcast on us and our story, and we started talking about his brother Dave, and we started getting into the whole conversation around mental health and disability. One in four Americans has a disability. And what was really interesting during our last Dining in the Dark, and not just even the Dining in the Dark, over the years talking to parents, it's getting them to really accept the disability that's not visible, right? The mental health component. And
right. That's
where I was talking to Joe about, we really see an opportunity in really helping frame mental health under this disability framework, because you can't see it. And Dave, I think it's a great intro to you to talk a little bit about yourself, because this is where the whole story came together. And I'll let you talk about the whole feeling of mental health and what we were talking about in the whole disability community.
My mental health journey started, I want to say, 2019. I had always had an inkling that there was something not normal about my brain. And, so I remember I went to my doctor. It was just my primary care at the time. And I was just like, I'm getting all this anxiety, all this stuff. And she goes, I can't diagnose, but I could treat. So what do you want, basically? And I was like, Prozac, I guess. I've seen The Sopranos. So, let's start there. It's really not a great way to do things. But the following year, I actually got diagnosed. Gosh. And turns out, bipolar 2 and ADHD. So it's a nice combo.
Yeah.
And, but during that time, I had been running other meme pages before I created Disappointing Affirmations, and I was doing a lot of mental health memes. And what I found people really connected to was it was sort of like allowing themselves not only to laugh at, you know, what they're going through, which it's not a very easy thing to do, you know, especially if you're having a full-on panic attack. No one's like finding that moment funny. But, yeah. You know, to do a segue from that, disappointing affirmations, one of, I think it was probably like my 12th or 13th post, was have a panic attack, you've earned it. And yeah. I posted that, it blew up the page. I mean, the page, that made it an overnight sensation. But there were so many people who were just like, how dare you? You know, make fun of this, and panic attacks aren't funny. And I'm like, that's not what I'm saying, you know? Right. And so the tricky part about doing disappointing affirmations is that there's going to be the crowd who gets it. And then there's going to be a crowd who takes it at face value and goes, oh, wow, this is really like hurtful. And, you know, so it's like walking that line of being mindful of, you know, what might hurt other people, but also not trying to censor myself, because I know, like, at least the purpose behind my thing is to help people feel seen, you know? And
yeah.
I always say this isn't for everyone, but for the people it is for, it's really for them.
So as a creator and as a, do you consider, I mean, you're a comedy creator, but you're a philosopher. You're like all these things in one. But you have right? And you have, when you're putting things out there and you're putting your art out into the world, which is what this is, you have to have thick skin, especially in like today's world where like the feedback comes fast and furious. How do you, there are a lot of people who celebrate what you do and that's great. But how do you deal with the people who don't? When people who do point fingers at you and tell you like, and try to lecture you and stuff like that, like, how do you handle that?
It's tough because, you know, there's part of me that wants to just ignore it, right? And a lot of times, like somebody told me years ago, and I always keep in my mind, don't feed the trolls, right? Because there are always going to be trolls. There are always going to be people, you know, but I'm not saying that everybody who doesn't get it or who has a problem with it is a troll, but internet culture has a hell of a lot of bridges where these people live under. And, you know, like, I did one.
That's a great line.
Well, thank you. No, I was trying to think of wonderful piece of feedback that I got the other day was just an anonymous message on Instagram that said, "Kill yourself, lame white boy." And so it's like, how do I take these things in and not let them, you know, really tear me down?
Yeah.
And but you know, I try to always think, you know, even Elvis wasn't for everybody, even the Beatles weren't for everybody. So yeah, you need to take your lumps, you know. Like, I have a very large following. I am amazed that I don't get more negative feedback, you know. So yeah. Fingers crossed, because that's changed a little bit as time's gone on, especially as this world that we live in right now is just so polarized, particularly in the United States. And it's tough.
It sounds really interesting because it sounds like you have to really balance the humor and there's pain in there. So I'd love for you to explain that. How do you balance that?
You need to compartmentalize, I think, and just remember what the purposes, you know, and what my goal is with all these. You know, it's not to make anyone feel bad. When I came up with this, my ex-wife had been into affirmations, and so it had been around me, but I was never really for like the positive affirmation kind of stuff. But then in 2022, in June of 2022, I went on this meditation retreat, Upstate Omega Institute. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. And it's an institute for learning, but they also meditation and Buddhism and all that is part of it. And I went there, I was tired of the things that I was doing. And I took like a 5-day, they call it digital detox now, but basically like I went up to this place, I took my phone, I put it in a drawer, and I only looked at it to check the time. And that was all that I did. And I just totally like freed myself. But, you know, when you don't have this, this pacifier, constantly, it's like, what else do I do? And so I did a lot of walking around, and the campus had this great bookstore. And I would go in there and I would just see all these positive affirmations and all this stuff. And when I got back, the first disappointing affirmation that I came up with was I'm paraphrasing now. If I could go back and do it all again, I would have just f***ed my life differently. And I was like, it was so different from what I was doing at the time. Like the memes that I had been doing were like, you know, existing photos and then like writing words over there, you know, like typical meme type of stuff.
Yeah.
And this, I wanted to be special. So everything is mine. The photos are all mine. They're all photos taken by me, and for better or worse. And, I took that disappointing affirmation and I put it to the audience of the page that I was doing at the time. And it got, a lot of great responses. And I thought, let me come up with something new. Like I said, something that was all mine. And I just decided on disappointing affirmations as the name. And it happened to be available because it's very long. So who the hell's going to want a long thing anyway?
Right.
And so, but actually it sort of became one of the banes of my existence, because if I put up something that is maybe a little too positive or a little too hopeful, which I'll get back to in a second, but one constant refrain is, this isn't disappointing. And it took me a little while to come up with a good response to that, which is, you sound disappointed. So it's like, either way, I win.
That's right. It just took an extra step.
Exactly.
That's all it was. It's
so it's like, no matter what, it's disappointing,
So good.
But one thing that I think a lot of people, they conflate disappointment with negative. And right. What I like to do is poke holes in the what people like to call toxic positivity. Like, not all of it is toxic, but people telling you that you must always be positive is just,
oh my god,
not the right way to go.
there is a woman on social media. My background is I have a daughter who, she's about to be 11 years old. She has a severe disability.
Oh, congratulations.
She's amazing. She's the best kid in the entire world. Her name is Sydney. She has severe cerebral palsy and bilateral PVL, which is brain damage. She's nonverbal. She's in a wheelchair. You would love her. I can't tell you. She has jokes. She talks with a communication device. She has all these jokes loaded up in it. And when she meets people, she like goes right to the jokes and she tells jokes.
She's
the funniest kid in the entire world. She's awesome. There is another disability parent named Elise that we talked to. She's become a friend. And she was just like, hey, sometimes you just like, we don't need the positivity all the time. You don't need people like just showering you with like, it's okay. It's sunshines and rainbows. Sometimes you just want to just sit in it and just say, you know what? This sucks. And you just want somebody else to put your arm around you and just be like, it sucks. It sucks. Can we just say it sucks together and just like get through this together? Yeah, it's all right. And sometimes we just need that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's okay. That's okay. It's all right. It doesn't mean that I love my kid any less. And I'm not like, I don't feel like, I don't appreciate my situation. I love my life tremendously and I'm blessed and I feel great. But there are moments where you just, it's okay. You don't need a toxic positivity. You don't need people like with the flamethrower of positivity, like blasting you in the face with it when you don't need it. It's like, all right, man.
Well, your story about your daughter reminds me of my first ex had a child with her second husband, and he has Duchenne's, which he's not going to live very long. I think he's like 12 or so, but he is hilarious. And I think there's just something about living through darkness. It just gives you such a different perspective on the light. You know, being bipolar or having bipolar, however people say it, I always say I never know who I'm going to be when I wake up in the morning, and some mornings are not the best. Others are like, hey, you know, and then there are those rare like delusions of grandeur moments. But you got to do your best with the cards that you're dealt. And, you know, I'm so proud of what Disappointing Affirmations has become, especially like, you know, I ended up getting published by this great company, Chronicle Books, and they put out, you know, a couple of books of mine, plus a whole bunch of other, you know, pieces of merch, because everybody loves the merch and all that. And also, it helps me do this for a living, you know. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's been a wild ride, a really wild ride.
Can I ask you a question? Because I feel like you're a great person to ask this question to, and you know, you are, you know, a successful person. You are a you're a great guy to talk to. I mean, I would love to sit here and talk to you forever.
He's gonna be a comedian. I mean,
you're a fascinating dude. You've lived an amazing life. You're successful. And you are really open about talking about your mental health stuff. And I guess my question for you is, if there are people listening to this, whether it's the parents of somebody who has a child with mental health stuff or a person who maybe has it themselves and they're nervous about or anxious about it, or maybe even a little embarrassed about it, what's your message to them? What would you say to somebody who maybe comes to you and says, I don't know what to do. I'm embarrassed. I don't know what to do about it. What would you say to somebody?
Well, that's a tough one. Because there are multiple answers to that. And, for a parent of a child who is, as they say, neurodivergent, just talk to them, you know, ask them how they're doing and respect how they're doing, you know, meet them where they are, not where you want them to be, not where you wish they were be.
I love that.
Would be. And without judgment, you know, because with judgment comes shame, shame comes shutting down, you know, and that's the last thing you want to do is like, unless they're already shut down and they don't want to talk. And that's also another point where you go, all right, you know, just be you. And if you want to go hide for a while and, you know, just until you're ready to come out and talk. And if that's not today, that's fine. You know, people, I think, have a tendency, and it's not a bad tendency to want to help others. Right. But when it comes to, you know, what people would frame as negative moods or whatever, the worst thing you could do is just try to force them to be, you know, positive. And, you know, going back to that whole, like, everything must be positive, which is, it's impossible. And the thing that I would say to a fellow neurodivergent is just be you, be, you know, your authentic self. And if others don't get it, that's okay, you know, because not everybody loves everybody and not everybody is going to get along with everybody. But don't shrink yourself for others. Don't change yourself for others. You know, just do the best you can at understanding yourself and giving yourself grace. I think that's a really hard thing for people to do.
I would love to build off of just more advice, because the whole time I've been sitting here and I hear your story and you're just so funny. You're positive.
Thank you.
You know, like, I really see that. But I go back to, you mentioned purpose, and I go back to that time you were diagnosed. Like, you had to go through the potential depression. Like, why me? Mm-hmm. Questioning. How did you turn yourself around? How did you get to your place where you're accepting? And just giving the audience, because again, I know so many people that are suffering from mental health and not talking about it. And you just have such a strong comedic way. And I'm like, wow, how did he pull himself into that way when you're diagnosed?
Medication. And it's like that's half joking, but, you know, or actually more than half true. the treatment, you know, going, you know, getting diagnosed and getting treated and going through a process of finding the right meds, because everybody's chemistry works different with different things. That was a multi-year process to get to the point where I am. And also it took cutting certain things out of my life that I was doing to myself that weren't good. Like I was a habitual weed smoker. And I remember one day I went online after I got my bipolar diagnosis and I looked up, you know, bipolar and cannabis. And the first article comes up, no, these should not be mixed.
No.
And unfortunately, that didn't make me quit then. But, you know, certainly my anxiety is a hell of a lot less than it was when I was smoking. I'm sure as I was creating all these things and sharing these things with other people, you know, part of it was helping them and part of it, a large part, was helping me. You know, like helping someone feel seen helps you feel seen yourself. And, you know, there was one thing that I did a lot, and I don't do as much on disappointing affirmations, but I really need to, is on Instagram, you could do these question stickers. And I don't know, I'm sure you've seen them, where it's like, ask me anything, basically. And people will put in their things. And quite often it was either relationship stuff. Relationships always pop up in this world. It's just, it's so part and parcel of it. But a lot of it was, you know, suicidal ideation. You know, people feeling so dark that they just, you know, didn't know how to go on. And I've certainly felt that many times in my life. So kind of just talking through it really helped me accept that, you know, that's not, you know, it's not a like horrible thing. You know, like, of course, it would make somebody worry if they, you know, heard about that. And that's a whole other thing, where it's just like, you know, the discourse around suicide and suicide ideation, people just don't want to talk about it. And the algorithms online are kind of set up to censor that stuff. You know, so it's like you can't even really say the word anymore. People have to come up with workarounds, like unalive yourself, which is, I mean, come on. We need to be able to talk about these things openly. And I think another thing that a lot of people may have, you know, apprehensions about, you know, talking, is they think, oh, I'm going to be committed. You know, if I bring this up, I'm, you know, I'm just going to be, you know, involuntary committed, and that's the end of my story. So I'm going to keep quiet about it. And so it's just been this whole thing of just talking about it and just, you know, putting it out there. And, you know, well, I mean, I don't walk around there like, hi, I'm Dave, I'm bipolar, how you doing? You know, it's just sort of like, but with the online presence, you know, it's like I come at it different ways, you know, because I have to keep the stuff fresh and interesting as much as I can. You can't keep doing the same thing, even though everything that has been done many, many times before, like the Jack Handy, you know, relation. Sure. So it's sort of like, you know, building upon that and making it my own.
I guess that's the kind of the next kind of phase of your career here, is like, do you feel pressure to kind of continue to come up with these memes and the wisdom and stuff like that? And then have you thought about like how much longer you want to do this for? Or are you just going to do it until you get like a calling to do something else?
It's interesting. I mean, I've always had a calling to be a novelist. That's when I was 13 years old and I wrote my first short story. I was like, oh, I love this. You know, I love doing this. But I was never able to, like, I was great at starting writing novels But then I would hit a wall and I would go back and I would start re-editing and editing and editing and just never getting anywhere. I actually just recently finished my first ever full manuscript of a novel.
Congratulations. It's a big
deal.
Thank
you. It's mostly but you know, I got it out, it's done, and now I know where I'm going next.
Absolutely. So, you got to sit down and you got to force yourself to do the work. And then once it's there, you can start tweaking it and doing all that stuff. 100%, right?
And I'm very grateful that through Disappointing Affirmations, I met my literary agent, you know, so she is now going to be there for me when I, you know, move on to that phase.
Amazing.
But I don't think I will ever abandon this, you know, it might, you know, take a back seat. I might not do it every single day, but one thing about Instagram, and that's the only platform that I'm on. Everyone wants me, especially my my publisher. They're like, get on TikTok. I'm like, I don't know. But you know, you need to constantly be the dancing monkey for the algorithm, or it just shuts you off.
Yeah.
And then you got to build yourself back in. So
yep.
Every morning, whether I want to or not, I'm like, all right, what's today's affirmation? You know, and there's almost not a day that I miss unless I'm working on a project. Like I was just doing the 2028 calendars, believe it or not. Like it's so weird how the publishing world works, but it's like you have to work on this stuff 2 years before it's even coming out. And so I was so focused on that I was like, I got to put the page on the back burner. And then
right
now I'm sort of like building it back up and all that. But
right.
It's a constant thing. And I think, you know, part of me, I've been wondering lately, like, what is my next project? Like, what's the next thing that I'm going to do meme-wise? Because I love making memes. You know, I kind of find it ironic that, you know, what I always wanted to do was long form writing. And I ended up becoming really good at writing the shortest stories possible, you know, and it's a totally different kind of writing. Like, you know, to get a succinct point across with a picture with a few words on it, you know, to make someone feel something just from this little thing. And it's
more than that though. I mean, you're selling yourself short because what you're doing is it's not just that. It's the way you, but I mean, just for the audience here, what you're doing is you have to come up with the right combination of words that really kind of engage and grab the audience. But then also it's the colors and the background and the imagery you use and the fonts, and it's all these things. Go ahead.
Finding a song now, because Instagram was like, oh,
that's
you
right.
must put a song on everything now.
That's
so
right.
It's like,
that's right.
Getting the words,
so now you gotta
finding
be a
the
DJ.
Right photo, getting it on there. And then, all right,
that's
now,
right.
What song? So it's literally right. like a 4-hour process.
You're a multi-platform producer to make a meme. Yeah, that's right. But it's true. It's true. And it's like it's not easy. And people think it's easy to do these things. It's not. It's a real process. And the fact that you've been doing it so successfully for so long, it's a real you don't just be like, oh, I'm just doing no, man. You're crushing it. And you're really good at this. And
He's
you deserve a ton
guy.
Of respect and props for it, man.
And you're opposite than your brother, by the way. Joe's
yeah,
there.
We
pump it up, do it. So, all right, Joe. I know we're getting ready
it's
to
amazing.
End here, but I wanted to make sure, you know, Evan, you close this out. But Dave, I'm just really impressed with what you're doing. I think you're doing a lot for mental health community, neurodivergence. I think just a lot of great, I'm going to say positive. I think it is great affirmations
you know,
that I think
at
are
its
so
heart,
positive.
It is. Absolutely, at its heart, it is. Even if it's something on the surface where it looks like a slap down, when you peel back the layers, if you take the time to do that, you'll find, oh, wait, this is like reverse psychology.
Dave, I it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. It's been an honor to meet you. It's been a pleasure, a fan. I can't thank you enough. Good luck with the book. I'm serious.
Thank
like
you.
I can't. We can't wait to support it. Like, tell us how. And also, please use the use this last time to like tell people how to find and support you, man. Please.
Well, you could find me on Instagram at Disappointing Affirmations. I've got two books out. One's called Disappointing Affirmations. The other's called Sorry in Advance for Making Things Weird. I have a desk calendar coming out in a week and a half for next year. So that's like the big thing. I don't know if I got you guys that, but I'm definitely going to get you some merch, Evan. And
I'll buy it. I'll support Dave. I'll support.
I also appreciate that too. You know, it's you know, that's you know, name of the game, right?
Yeah, man. Hey, in all seriousness, I really appreciate you. Thank you so much. And good luck with everything. And we can't wait to have you on again soon. Remember,
to it.
If you want to support Driven by Purpose, like, subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. That's how we grow this thing, guys. And we will see you next time. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Dave.